there's a lot of different people that you probably want to hear from today. One of them would be Nota Begay, because he's played on the tour, he's been covering the tour forever, and he's as connected as it gets, and he was nice enough to pick up the call, and he joins us now from NBC, the Golf Channel. Again, longtime tour pro himself. Here's Nota Begay. It sounds as if everyone was shocked by the news, Nota. I'm assuming that would be the case with yourself. How are you responding to what you're hearing in terms of the golf world today?
Well, the first thing I did was I picked up the phone and I called a couple of colleagues in the space, and I'm like, is this a joke? Is this really happening? I was completely astonished at the possibility, and my head started spinning as to sort of, you know, what caused this, what the future holds, how are the players reacting? You know, obviously you guys have looked at social players' responses, and rightly so, are more along the lines of shock and just complete disbelief. More so along the lines that they weren't really brought into the discussion. You know, the tour has always operated very well when it's worked along the lines of communication and transparency. And, you know, this doesn't seem like that was included in this process. And so I think a lot of players are feeling left like they just kind of were left out of the equation. There's a meeting that's happening right now as we speak at the RBC Canadian Open with the players only meeting with the commissioner. So I'm sure there'll be a lot more discussed. I'm sure it's going to be some heated subjects being kicked around in there, and the players are going to want some clarification and answers, and rightly so.
So what if the players are really pissed at Monahan, Nota? What happens, like what could possibly happen to him? Because in any other sports industry, the commissioner is kind of running things through the players. They're pissed off that they found out all this information on Twitter today, and one of them tweeted out, so much for a player-driven league. So what happens to Monahan and all this if all these guys can't stand him?
You know, what's interesting, and bear with me for a second. So just about 30-plus years ago, two brothers, Larry and Lee Rinker, tried to start a players' association. The commissioner at the time, Dean Beaman, shut it down, felt like the players were getting more than their fair share. We're one of the only major sports that does not have a players association to sort of represent the collective thoughts of our membership. If we would have had one, this live may have never happened, because I'm pretty certain the players would have voted against it. And now we're in that same space where there's no consolidated voice to represent the concerns of our membership. And so it's just a collection of individuals that sort of have to, you know, set a meeting with Jay, text with Jay, call Jay, email Jay, to try and get some clarification on just how this happened, why it happened, and, you know, what's in it for me, because, you know, you just have a lot of players at a lot of different levels. You have the superstars, you have the middle tier guys, and then you have the guys that are changing in and out sort of in the bottom 25 to 50 players on the money list just aren't really sure, you know, what the tour is going to look like in a year.
Can you bring any clarity, Nota? I'm not sure if you know this. We were just discussing it off the top. This doesn't necessarily mean that live golfers can just play in any PGA Tour event right away. Can you just explain kind of to the guy that plays golf on the weekend what this could mean moving forward?
Well, I think you may be looking at a hybrid schedule. I mean, because I don't know that LIV wants to let go of its format. The PGA Tour certainly doesn't want to let go of its competitive format. So what you may see is more tournaments around the world. But when they do play a LIV sort of sanctioned event or type of event, you're going to see their format with the team concept and how they've been sort of running things, maybe with a few modifications. And when there's just a regular PGA Tour event, you're just going to see what you've been seeing, you know, for the last 50 plus years, 72 holes, the cut, and hopefully getting, you know, good fields together. But for, you know, the average golfer, the avid golf fan, I think, you know, wins in this situation, because me as a sports fan in other sports, I want to see the best players as often as possible. And when you bring back Koepka and you bring back Dustin and Cam Smith and Joaquin Niemann and Patrick Reed, you know, you're getting that look again. And that's when you sort of are able to identify who is the best in a particular sport.
We're chatting with Noda Begay of NBC Sports and the Golf Channel on the news of the day that the PGA Tour, alongside the DP World Tour, have come to an agreement with the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. In other words, the money that was pumping up LIV and LIV Golf. It was this time last year. We're here on site. We're at Oakdale right now. We're at the RBC Canadian Open. We were at St. George's last year when the news broke, because Dustin Johnson was the face of the Canadian Open for about a decade.
Right.
He pulled the pin like a week before the tournament, and LIV Golf started in London this week last year. It was 52 weeks ago. And now already you fast forward here, and it appears as if they're coming together, and it's almost as if they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. And it feels like it's kind of been trending in that direction, Noda, with the Ryder Cup conversation. Right, where more and more public figures are like, we're okay with it. Just allow these guys to come aboard. Koepka just won the PGA. Koepka and Phil put on a clinic at the Masters. But the timing, I could have seen this happening 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. I guess what I'm getting to is, are you surprised that all of this has happened and possibly we already have a resolution in 52 weeks?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with regard to the projected timeline that you're talking about. You know, a 3 to 5 year window is probably pretty fair and appropriate with regard to sort of changes or mergers or whatever. But I think what really blew that whole theory up for you and me was when Koepka almost won the Masters, should have won the Masters, and, you know, and then goes on to win the PGA. Because, you know, how can you have a Ryder Cup team without the PGA champion on it? That's ludicrous. And so I think that really expedited the whole process and really made the governing bodies and the PGA Tour in specific reconsider, saying, hey, look, like, if we on occasion have these guys coming in and winning the biggest tournaments that we have to offer, it's just really a bad look for our tour, because we're supposed to be comprised of the top and the best players in the world, and we have these guys that are playing 54 hole events and shorts and music and, you know, all the fanfare that happens at a live event, you know, walk into Augusta National nearly winning and then going to Oak Hill and taking everything in a very commanding fashion. It just wasn't a great look. So, you know, that might have possibly sped up the whole process.
You mentioned looks not a great look. From the outside, is it as simple as somebody who just says this is all about cash and cash is king and that's basically the focus and going to try and work through or work backwards from that?
Well, a free market capitalist system isn't always roses for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that happen in the system that isn't beneficial for everyone, and I just think that it's tough to go up against an adversary that has an unlimited bankroll. I mean, it's like playing poker against somebody that just keeps, you know, buying more chips because they're never going to run out of money. You know, eventually they're going to beat you. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't think the PGA Tour is getting beat. I think they're just sort of figuring out, you know, maybe the writing was on the wall that, you know, 3 to 5 years from now that this was going to be inevitable. So let's just sort of get this done now and see if we can make the two sides work together. And, you know, they say it's better for the game and growing the game. I don't disagree. I just think that they realized that it was a fight they were never going to win. They were going to invest millions and millions of dollars in litigation against the side that really wasn't ever going to go away.
Is there any middle ground for you, Noda? Mike Tirico was on the Golf Channel this morning, and he said what you just said. It could be good for the game, all the best players, blah, blah, blah. And then your colleague, Brandel Chambly, came out and said this is the worst day in the history of golf. Like, are you somewhere in the middle of all this?
Yeah, you know, I'm more of an optimist in the sense that, look, hey guys, we're talking about golf here, right? Like, I know there's political ramifications, but, you know, I can name 10 Fortune 100 companies that do a lot of business in Saudi Arabia, you know, with, you know, some of their, you know, poor human rights records and stuff. And so, you know, we can go on and on about, you know, the moral high ground here, but at the end of the day, it's golf. At the end of the day, I think that getting the best players together is good for the game. But who I really feel for is, you know, the Rorys, JTs, Spieths, Rahms, Morikawas, Hovland. They turned down, you know, between the six or seven of those players, and not even throwing Tiger in that category, you know, close to $1 billion in money to back the tour. And I don't know if they're going to figure out some way to compensate those guys at some point. I don't think so. And so I really feel for those guys. They've got to feel like, you know, a little hollow inside at this point.
Yeah, Hideki Matsuyama was flying coach, you know, getting out of the Memorial, man. This guy allegedly was offered like $400 or $500 million to jump to LIV. And it didn't happen.
Japan was a huge market for LIV. They wanted to expand into Japan, and he was, you know, he's the greatest player ever from that country, and he turned down a lot of money too. You know, he's included in that list, and so like it's, the total goes well over $1 billion that these guys walk away from, not to mention the $700 or $800 million Tiger was offered. So that's a lot of cabbage, guys.
It sure is. What do you, if and when we hear from Tiger Woods, you know him as well as anybody, how do you think he'll respond to the news?
Gosh, he just got to be disappointed. I'm sure he's going to have a very, you know, candid and straightforward conversation with Jay, and you know, maybe already has had it, but it'll be very soon if it hasn't happened already. And he's going to want some answers, and I think he's entitled, and so is Rory. I mean, these guys spent countless hours on the phone and in meetings and doing emails to support the PGA Tour, and now it's kind of gone a complete 180 from where they thought it was headed, and you know, they need some clarification.
His longtime rival Phil Mickelson, on the flip side, he's been poking at everyone. Would you anticipate he tones that down now? Like he's kind of throwing his arms in the air, you know, as a victor in all this. What do you expect to hear from Mickelson moving forward?
Yeah, I think it all needs to be toned down now. Now it's the time, you know, now that sort of the thing has kind of just exploded a little bit, it's time to pull the game together, and we're going to need the leaders, you know, the players that are leaders, the leadership from these organizations to sort of look toward the future and heal and build and sort of get the game back to an elevated status. It's in a great place. We have so many great young players, and I wish, you know, and hope that, you know, we can get focused back on what that's going to look like. We have a wonderful, wonderful tournament, you know, this week in Canada. That was probably the best tournament last year in the entire schedule, was the RBC Canadian Open, just the energy and the finish. And, you know, they have that event this week, and then we have U.S. Open next week. So it's like a lot of good things in golf to come. So hopefully we can repair and move forward.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time for us. I know it's a wild day today, Nota. Enjoy the RBC Canadian Open, U.S. Open next week, and thank you for doing this. We'll do it again down the road.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Thanks.
Nota Begay from the Golf Channel on NBC Sports.